This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Everyone, welcome to the Curious Matter After Show. I'm Allison Hayslip, and my co-pilot here is Alyssa DeVries, and we are going to be your hosts as we take a deeper dive into this season's episodes. We are going behind the scenes to learn a little bit more about these stories and their authors, and of course, geek out on our collective love of all things sci-fi and horror. Now, tonight's show is live on Twitch every other week, so all of you out there in podcast land, come join us over at twitch.tv/effandfunny. And you can ask questions there and interact with the team and us. It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Now, tonight on the show, we have the Curious Matter creator, Jonathan Pezza, himself. Welcome, Jonathan.
Woo!
Hello, hello.
Hi. Okay, so.
That was an episode.
That was an
yes,
episode. That, I mean, I'm glad that it finally tied into how exactly Elise is there.
Yeah, because some clarity.
I know, and the whole talk last episode about I forget the verbiage you guys use, but basically like putting her, what was it, her LP, her LB, what is it, thing with all
LB,
her memories,
right?
The implant, yeah,
yes, the
well,
the
it's
memory
the
implant.
Engram.
That's yeah. It. I didn't quite put that together like from last week's episode because I was like, what is this thing that they're doing? And now it finally came to fruition and I was like, oh, I get it now. How much of this is actually from the source material and how much is your own crazy sci-fi brain making this up?
Well, at this point, we're off the rails, I think. I loved all the twists and turns. As we talked about like early on, like, Andre Dorton did so many amazing things, but she didn't really have the lexicon. She didn't really understand, like, obviously she was writing in the 1960s, so she didn't know the world that we're in today and the kind of educated audience and the technology that we have today and the verbiage that we have ultimately to explain it. So, you know, I really expanded on what I thought were the core ideas and the things that she was imagining were possible and then tie that in to like what we know today and kind of our cultural relationship to technology and like where that's going to go, not from her perspective in the 1960s, but from like our perspective right now.
Right.
And like try to move that ball forward. Basically from the point they get into the cave, we're in a different place.
In this episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've gone. I mean,
yeah,
it's the characters have been changed and the way things are revealed is different and like scenes are different in how to get there. Cause like, I think she was really insinuating it's at ideas that didn't come around until cyberpunk. Because we didn't have internet technology. We didn't have the conversation. We didn't even have that lexicon until like Gibson came around, you know,
Debbie.
Years and years.
sorry, different Gibson. Sorry.
So, you know, like Neuromancer kind of like set off that whole thing. And so you're just building on the conversation that exists inside of science fiction so that it kind of stays relevant.
Right. So once we entered this cave, we are basically like post book 5 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
it's the
rails are off.
We went a different way because ultimately the way the book ended, I didn't think was, it was fantastic for the 1960s, but I didn't stand up to like today's
wasn't
like,
a satisfying.
Yeah. It fell more into the kind of tropiness that we're that the rest of the story didn't have, which I found so surprising. It's one of the reasons I circled it for so long, because the end was like, okay. But the ideas of what were going on in the cave were so interesting, and they didn't quite get explored. And I was like, oh, we're going to explore that.
Are you able to tell us what the original ending is now without spoiling next week's episode?
No, I can't. Yeah.
Okay, then we need to revisit this.
We can.
And by next week, I mean in 2 weeks. We go every other week.
2 weeks.
Yes. But yes. What our final episode. We need to revisit this because I want to know what the original.
Because we're doing a whole extravaganza where we bring in a ton of people to interview.
Well, that's the hope.
Yes.
We're going to see what happens day of. True.
Yeah, it'll make sense why I changed it. The end falls into the pulpy tropes, and I didn't want that. I wanted the end to be character driven. So
yeah, all right. Let's talk a bit about AI, because we've touched on this briefly in previous episodes. But you use AI to create this world, this soundscape that you're doing. Can you go more into depth about what exactly you're using the AI for? What aspects of this podcast are there?
Totally. Well, it's been a slow progression. The first AIs that were introduced were sound plugins that assessed audio. So our mastering system is Ozone, which you can build out without it, but the AI mastering system kind of taught me how to master. It showed me what the sound was doing and ultimately how to take something that feels really flat and make it something that feels really punchy and real and in your ear and in your head, and not like that wide stereo sound. So that I actually kind of learned how to master because the AI was teaching me the different steps by assessing the audio we were doing in the early episodes. We started mastering using that tool after the third episode of season one. And that was the first thing that we started introducing. But this season we've integrated into the main show, we've integrated AI voice performances. And the really interesting thing is that in this episode, all the voices in the first scene, except for Yakhtisi, are AI, including the person she's having a conversation with, the tech. In that
really?
First scene, yeah, they're all the whole first scene except for Yakhtisi is AI.
Wow,
how crazy is that?
That's shocking.
That's both amazing and sad to me as a performer, because I'm like, where does my job go?
AI is taking our jobs.
You don't have to hire people to do those voices. I'm out of work.
For me, we don't need to do it, but I, as someone who's so into technology and into science fiction and into where culture and technology meet, integrating that into the show is fun for me. It's like, I can try this new thing, keeps it interesting, and really try to evolve what we're doing in a fun way. It doesn't affect, I don't know that it's making it better or worse, but it definitely is a fun thing to be experimenting with, because those tools are out there.
Yeah, yeah, and actually this ties into another aspect of the show, because you've started posting show artwork on the social media accounts, and if I'm correct, these are also things that you are creating with AI.
In AI, yeah. So yeah. If you've been following social media for the last 3 weeks, everybody's been freaking out about the AI art systems.
My friend was just showing me this weekend, and I had the same thought. I was like, this looks incredible, but why will we need artists anymore?
That's actually kind of the question. It's Midjourney is the name of the AI. Everyone, it's midjourney.com. It's so interesting because you really you have to learn the language of it, and it's constantly evolving, but you're ultimately having a conversation with an AI artist, and that artist is spitting out ideas. It's learning, which is what's really kind of crazy.
Wow.
Each version of it gets better, and the morphology of the people and all of that stuff, it's still a little weird. All of the eyes have to be fixed.
That's freaky.
But didn't we learn that with the Polar Express? Can't get the eyes right.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that it's another neural system that fixes the eyes. I use Photoshop's neural eye.
So we just can't ever let these two AIs talk to each other, because then we don't need humans anymore.
Exactly.
And they're going to figure that out. And now we have Terminator.
Exactly. Well, we have the artistic representation of Terminator.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. If Terminator was really pretty, maybe we'd all be okay with it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there's like something really interesting in that you got to wonder if our cultural aesthetics are going to change over time as AI art comes into it, because the way they think and the way they think about like morphology and beauty, it thinks about morphology and the concept of beauty. When you say like, make a beautiful person, like what does that mean? Make a beautiful picture. Like, what does that mean? Because it understands those kinds of generalized, like feeling based. Like prompts.
They're it understands prompts. Traditional beauty standards. That's wild.
I don't know how it processes that, but you can say, make me a happy tree. And it will understand that you're asking for an emotional context connected to that image. And it will create things that are crazy.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
We have a question in chat that sort of relates to the AI stuff from Critter Nation 3000. When you come up with your audio sounds, are you doing that after the story is written to fit it in? Or are you coming up with sounds you want to use and then working them into the story at all? Or a little bit of both?
You write the script, and in the script you write direction. And so it has all the same direction you'd have in a screenplay. It doesn't really look any different, except for that when I describe action, I'm describing from a sound standpoint. I don't necessarily say this sound is here. I still do it in very like literative, normal kind of screenwriting format. But and anyone who's interested in reading the scripts can get them by joining the Patreon, even the lowest level. Everybody gets access to the scripts. The sound, ultimately, when I get into it, I start thinking about it like a scene and like blocking a scene in filmmaking and start basically just thinking about all of the elements that are in there. And you have to, I mean, you get good, I think, at thinking about, what does a flitter sound like? What does a crash flitter sound like? Like, and like, what are all the components? And so you look at people like Ben Burtt and you start researching like, okay, how is the Millennium Falcon built? Like, what are those sounds, which we reference and actually use that sound in a previous episode, the sound of the hyperdrive failing is in our show. Cause it's, it's the 1929 biplane starter. Sound is what it is.
Wow. Another Easter egg by Jonathan.
Wait, and this was something we talked about off show last week or last time.
Oh, we talked about it off show.
I'm pretty sure we did. We talked about the Wilhelm scream.
Yes.
Being in last week's episode, which I think is something people need to know. We didn't talk about that on the after show. You snuck it into last.
I posted it on the Instagram though. So
you didn't put it on the podcast.
It's here now.
Exactly. But you like putting in. It's pretty cool that you can still incorporate sci-fi Easter eggs into an audio drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I will go searching for stuff. If I'm like, oh, I want something that's like, okay, what's that light? I want a hum. I want a force field hum, but what's the light? What's a lightsaber built out of sound wise?
Yeah.
And then you start trying to figure out, oh, okay. So part of it's like a TV hum and part of it's this and part of it's a, like a cable, like being banged on, like, so there's like those things. And what you really get good at is like saying, okay, so like, let's talk about how the flitter crash sound was, because there's actually a lot there, even though it's not, there's like wind whistling in the broken window. Like that's a component. There are like ticking sounds from like an engine after it's cooling off, because I was like, this engine needs to be ticking. Cause like, that's what happens when something crashes. Like if you think about the sound of after crash, for me, it's always like the engine ticking or the wheel spinning, like in a movie, like that's always the sound you hear.
Yeah.
And so I was like, there's like this little fan that keeps trying to start and failing to start that's in there too. So it's like this, like the flitter's like on its last legs, like its last heartbeats are going and it stops actually. Like as you're going, but you don't know that, you just feel the sound of what's going on.
Right.
That's, everything's built to that level.
Okay. This is something that I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even notice until this episode. And it's something that listeners, you'll only experience if you actually watch it, quote unquote, watch it on Twitch while we're doing this live. But the animation of the Star Hunter logo, actually, the sound waves actually go with the story. Like, they actually are getting louder when people are speaking, and they when it's completely silent, they go still. And I just didn't notice it until this episode. And that just seems like such an incredible little addition to something that's only going to occur if people are watching it live or listening to it live with us. And how did you, is that another AI? Like, how did you create... Is that happening
that's just,
live?
That's just After Effects. Yeah. So, I mean, as a, you know, my day job is as a video editor. And so I bring a lot of those tools into things. That's why the teasers are so fun. And yeah. Yeah, that's every show goes into, I build a template for each story. And so all the episodes in that story go into that template. Like there's reactive animation in our first story of the season, which
reactive is, animation. Got it.
Yeah. It's audio reactive animation. And you, there's like plugins for that and stuff in After Effects.
I mean, it's just, it's really incredible speaking with you because this is such like, this is like your second language. And I am like a small child when you say these things where I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? But then you explain them and I'm like, oh, I got it. But it's just funny to me how like, it's just second nature to you to know all of this stuff about audio engineering when I'm like, a microphone records sound. Ta-da!
It's like 25 years of filmmaking at this point, including like post-production, production, and writing. So like, I basically just took everything from filmmaking, took away the picture, and have been approaching it that way. And then building out the marketing and all that stuff. Like, it's just me. So that's why I don't sleep much.
Yeah. My gosh, this is incredible. Okay. So let's talk a bit more about the episode specifically. Okay. I mean, clearly the biggest twist, at least to me, was Yak-Ti-Si knowing about Rass's plot with Wass. So why is this the episode that you revealed it in? Because honestly, like once that was revealed, I was like, this is the final episode. How do we go anywhere from here? And now we still have more to go. So why was it revealed in this episode?
Because this is the episode that's about amends, ultimately. It's about taking stock of what got them here. Because the order, like the world has now shifted by order of magnitude. It's like they've now found this thing that is so huge and so much bigger than they are when you think about it in the big questions of things, that it's like in those moments when you can't help but like take stock. And so for me, this was the hardest episode to write. It's also the smallest, kind of smallest episode in the sense that like it was all character driven. This episode.
Right. I was thinking
they get thrown through a wall, but
right. But there's less like, what creature is this that might murder us today? And oh, we're crashing multiple ships into the ground and all that. We also had the very cool moment of Elise realizing that she's been fighting with Vina's own memories in this body that she's in a way borrowed. How did you make sure the dialogue between these two characters, since they're played by the same actress, were still understandable for the podcast listeners?
Well, I mean, we worked out early on that Vina had our backwater space accent, which has basically been like Southern and Creole and South African, like mixed together and things. And so she's got her backwater accent and then Elise has kind of like, it's like, ultimately, it's a Prince of the Pauper story, ultimately, if you think about it, right? It's really about those two things in conflict with each other. The whole thing, Ross, everybody, it's all about the cultural conflict of the haves and the have-nots, right? And so she is the embodiment of those two things. So ultimately, when writing the dialogue, it was just about Vina isn't a whole Vina. Inside of her mind, Vina is this fragmented, kind of trapped version of her psyche, and so she's boiled down to like the raw emotion, and so she's just this like creature of anger and rage. And so the you're kind of separating them based off of emotion, like almost emotional, like their emotional, their emotions like separate them as much as any performance element. Right. And Tiffany pulled it off so amazingly. Like her, I like texted her when it came out. I was like, your performance is amazing. because she pulled it off. There's a tiny, tiny, tiny pitch shift just to give it a Venus, just a hair lower, like huskier sounding, like morning sounding. But really that's it. Nice. And they're kind of always dancing around each other.
And it's funny because I remember when Vina was introduced, I remember thinking, why did he have Tiffany do this voice as well? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't, back then, I didn't know they were going to turn out to be the same, I mean, the same person in a way, you know? I just remember thinking, like, man, he really couldn't grab another actress for this one role.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
now it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, every prologue is meant to, every prologue is really meant to kind of give you this peek into the truth. And but like my favorite stories do that. They don't roll out all the information out at once. So you have to put that like prologue against the prologue against the prologue against the prologue, and then oh my god, you have the whole backstory kind of basically.
It's like that. Is it the first season of Better Call Saul where you get to see these like he's like, yeah, you're just seeing him with these little clips in the future and you don't realize what it's all like tying into. It's very, very like good storytelling.
Westworld does that all the time where you have no idea where Westworld, you are in time.
Oh, listen, I love Westworld and now I still want to love Westworld. And sometimes I'm like, Westworld, get over yourself because you could be so cool. And sometimes you're just like too much. Anyway, can you tell I have some thoughts about the current season? I'm not caught up yet though, so maybe that'll help.
I'm at least an episode behind in this season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It set up such an unbelievably amazing first season of questions, all I gotta say is like the one thing you gotta give it is like each season has tried to like delve into it from a different direction and ask different questions.
Yes.
And I love it. So
I think my biggest complaint is they set up this amazing park and then they left it in season two. And I was like, I'm not done with the park. What? Yeah. Why did we leave the park already? Let's go. Anyway,
Samurai World.
I just was like, yeah, I know.
I know.
I know. Yeah. I just wanted to see every other aspect of the park. I just wasn't ready to be put into like real world, quote unquote real world. Anyway, this is not about Westworld. Let's hear what chat wants to say. As long as it's not an opinion about Westworld.
It's not. It's more about sound. They're loving the sound. Everybody is very excited to learn how Jonathan created this amazing world. And our fabulous TD, Death Queen Vex, wants to know, what's the strangest sound effect you use?
Ooh, I like that question.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
Strangest sound. God, I don't know. Oh, it's probably the animal stuff. Like there is definitely a like Galapagos tortoise mating in there somewhere.
Love.
Like, yeah.
Like actual mating.
it's a mating call. No, I was looking for sounds that I could like morph in different ways. And so I started researching like what went into the raptor in Jurassic Park. And I was like, mm-hmm. just to see how that was built out. And one of the things was a Galapagos tortoise. And I was like, oh, let me search that. And I found like this thing. And I was like, okay, yeah. That's a good, it's one of the sounds for the pit dragons. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
How is creating Star Hunter compared to the other episodes of Curious Matter Anthology? I mean, especially this is a 5-part series. Is this the longest one you've done?
Well, no, we did a 5-part last season. We did Philip K. Dick's Second Variety, which you guys should all listen to. It is awesome. Yeah. This one is more complicated because the sound design is just more complicated. It just requires a lot more creature design across the board. Like Second Variety is kind of like a Terminator. It's the story that inspired Terminator for the mm-hmm. that people think.
Two Terminator references already in the
Yeah.
yeah. And so, you know, that you're dealing with like robots as the fundamental sound source, and that's not the most complicated thing. There's a lot of stuff that's like people know that the Transformer sound and the race, but this one, like, what does a Xeno rodent sound like?
It's actually more organic. It's
Yeah, like,
more nature-based. So,
yeah, so you had to like, okay, what is skittering? How do you do skittering? Like,
Oh,
how do you
interesting.
do a swarm of aqua spiders? Like, I animated the blocking of like 100 different spiders. I felt like I was in that scene for like 2 days. Just this one jumps, this one jumps, this one
I
jumps.
don't need to be involved in the animation of any spiders. So that sounds like my nightmare.
Yeah, I should probably post some scenes without score so that you can just hear.
Oh, that'd be really
Yeah.
interesting. You definitely should.
Just do
Totally.
the just the
I might
design.
skip the spider one, but yes, you should post things so people can hear the animals on their
Yeah.
own.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That
The
would be
animals are so
very
fun.
cool.
I like the strong jaws. The strong jaws are such an interesting sound. So it's a this there's like two things in there. There's like the strong jaw has, I don't even remember what it is. It's like a giraffe or something, like not a giraffe. It's
Oh.
a zebra like slowed way down
Oh.
and reversed at one point. And then there's also
Slow motion
like,
reverse zebra.
exactly. There's also like chimpanzee, a lot of chimpanzee sounds in there, just like super morphed.
Wow.
That's cool.
Do you ever come up against like roadblocks or anything? How do you solve problems? Because it seems to me like you're pretty good at just figuring it all out.
I think that's the editor mindset in the sense that like, and I think actually that's why I can write this stuff fast and I don't hit those blocks is that there's something about when you learn to professionally like video edit that you just like work it. You work the problem until you fix it. You just sculpt and sculpt and sculpt and sculpt and you don't stop to think about like, am I making the right choice or am I making the wrong choice? Actually, that's kind of, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. My entire way of doing this was that, you know, you can spend a lot of energy in your life trying to find perfection and trying to find that. But that's not what filmmaking is. That's not what storytelling is. Storytelling is trying to make as many effective decisions as you can. And you make the best first effective decision. And in this, it's like, okay, that works. All right, I can make that work. All right, this is where it goes from. I'll start morphing off this idea. I'll start iterating off this idea. And you just work the problem consistently. And so you never run into a block because you're like, okay, I'm not finding something I like. Let me search more animals. Let me do whatever. Let me try reversing it. You just work it until it becomes effective. And then once you hit effective, you move on.
I love that reversing animal noises is like a common, I'll try reversing it. Let's see what happens.
There's a lot of reverse sound in editing, in video editing, yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. So, Elise, anything with the chat? Do we want to announce our shirt winner?
Yes, I'm happy to announce our you by the way, you called me Elise, which is so funny.
You know what is so funny? That came out of my mouth and I was like, that's it. That's not my brain like mashed up the show and you.
You're too into the story. Yeah.
I
It's because I'm a princess.
know. I know you are.
Yes, we do have a winner of our raffle. Congratulations to Zyle the Eager. Expect a DM from us because you have won, I believe, a t-shirt.
Yeah, you
Very
got
it's
cool.
what
What
Jonathan's
Jonathan's
wearing.
wearing.
Is that a skull?
You're gonna be
This
twins.
is Jamala. This is the planet.
It
The
looks like a
image for the
skull.
it is. If you look at
Oh
the if you you've watched 4 episodes of the show in video, it's the this is the logo.
did I not just tell you I only today realized that the audio was moving with it? Listen, it is a joke.
That's
We have a joke in my family that my mother likes to tell me and my brother that we have eyes like our father because we can stare at something and ask, where is this thing? Not realizing we are looking right at it. It is a terrible trait, but it is an ongoing joke. It mainly happens when you open the fridge and you ask, where's the ketchup? And the ketchup is in front of your face. So clearly, I did not. I mean, I was so just enamored today with the moving sound lines around me. I didn't even look what was in the
Yeah,
center.
like if you
Anyway,
look at the logo.
yeah. Anyway, congrats to what was our winner's name?
Zyle the Eager. And I hope you're eager to get this t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Yes. There you go. All right, Jonathan, before we wrap this up, can you give us anything about next week's finale? Any little hint, any little tease, any little...
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's I think everyone's going to be satisfied. There's a lot to wrap up and there's a lot to understand still. So, there's still another twist.
Of course there is.
Of course there is. I'm still like at this point now, I want both actual Elise, not Alyssa Elise, and Vina to, I'm like, how do we keep them both? Like finding out that Elise was actually dead. I'm like, no. So I'm interested to see how you wrap that
up. Yeah.
We will see. I'm not going to
just see. We put Elise's mind chip, whatever. I can't. Why can I not remember the name of this,
N-Gram.
But we put N-Gram. We put that in an aqua spider.
An Ooh.
Aqua spider. There we go. Stalled the show for you, Jonathan.
Done. The alt ending.
The alt ending.
Love it.
Oh my gosh. There you go. You can make it like Clue, have five different endings where Elise just gets put into a different weird creature that was discovered on the
fun.
Planet.
We'll just have and vote, I mean, for it like the death of Robin.
It's not the worst idea.
It's not
the it's worst close idea. To the worst idea, but it's not the worst idea.
No, there's yeah. Well, I think You'll be pleasantly satisfied, I think.
Ooh, I like I don't that.
Know. I hope they fall in love.
Listen, I love pleasant satisfaction. Who doesn't?
Maybe pleasant's a strong word. coming from me. Perhaps not pleasant. Yeah. I don't know. What's the tragic word for... I'm kidding.
You'll frustratingly satisfied.
Yeah, frustratingly satisfied. You'll be...
There we go. That'll be the like tagline for this podcast. Star Hunter, frustratingly satisfied.
Love it.
Awesome.
I loved it so much. I threw my TV. I threw my headphones.
Well, no, you threw your headphones.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
There you go. Okay. Well, that about wraps things up. Of course, I would like to thank our guest and friend, Jonathan Pezza, joining us tonight. It is always so wonderful chatting with you. You are so knowledgeable with things that I'm clearly not knowledgeable about at all. Please make sure to like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook under the handle @CMAnthology, or check us out online at www.curiousmatterpodcast.com. Our technical director tonight is Death Queen Vex. The Curious Matter After Show is presented by Effin Fun and the Knightsville Workshop and distributed by Realm Media. So until next time, I am Allison Haslip.
This is Alyssa DeVries, and we've been your hosts. Keep your memory implant close, and thanks so much for listening.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
This is I reporting. He's at the Lao Chang restaurant, Changchun, northeastern China. It's spring 1997. Once it started, I'll leave him in Ming's hands. That's a joke. Ming doesn't have hands.
And what do you do exactly, besides dance with strangers?
I work for the postal service.
You're a postman.
Weird, right?
Miss Cloutier, what is it?
It's just a bit strange. A letter for me from Hong Kong. And there's no stamp.
I need stamps to write a dead person?
Yep, there's a cost.
How much?
A pound. A pound of flesh. A pound of you.
It seems like a lot.
Lift up your shirt!
What's that?
Just hold this tube over your stomach! Guiyao Dong La!
Ow!
Yeah, this is gonna hurt!
What?
Nothing!
The very worst thing that could possibly happen.
sat up lease right back. If your letter can find me here, then I think we have a lot to talk about. Saludos, Raúl.
The very worst thing that could possibly happen. An audio drama in 9 parts, produced by Wolf of the Door Studios. Out now. For more information, please visit WLFDR.com.